And we welcome you back inside the Sports Ethos Sacramento Kings podcast. Sam Comente here with you. It's been a couple days. Jill Adge alongside me, the incomparable and all-knowing. I'm doing this in a different order than I normally do, and I just threw myself off. But we're back. Sam and Jill, we're here on this Tuesday afternoon. Talk some Kings. Sadly, this is starting to pile up, having to talk about this team. That is, Jill, going straight for a potential top five pick. If they lose tonight against the Thunder, who are just behind them in the standings, they're tied for fourth overall pick. So this is where we're at now. We're looking at draft seeding because the team has lost three straight. They've lost seven of their last nine. They really don't like to play the Memphis Grizzlies, who just beat the shit out of them every time they play. The Grizzlies don't even take the Kings seriously, it seems. They're a JV team to Memphis. And they're on pace for 30 wins, which, you know, in the past 15 years, how many times have the Kings finished in some range of 30 wins? It's every year, right? They haven't finished above 40 wins since they last made the playoffs. So we're at the status quo. The unfortunate problem is, fortunate thing is, the status quo is dog shit. So we're in the midst of all the dog shit, Jill. What do we want to talk about?
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. What do we even say anymore that hasn't been said at this point?
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is, they're in the midst of it all. And then you also are now throwing in what, 3-4 players that are completely out of game shape, and go have fun, guys.
Yeah. Good luck with your hopes and dreams.
And that's the thing. Like, we need those guys to be perfect to win, but they're not going to be perfect coming off of, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks of misplay. Like, it's just not going to happen. And you're going against good teams. And so it just sucks, you know, and outside of that, you still see the same mistakes over and over. You know what I mean? Like, the talk is hollow of, oh, we need to do the little things and blah, blah, blah. Like, okay. We've known that for years. You've known that for years, and it's not changing. So why am I ever to believe that you're somehow going to figure out how to do the little things? And then you have a coach now saying that this is the worst thing he's experienced.
Yeah.
In 30 something years of coaching. Yeah. And
he's been around, Gentry.
To me, I would be completely embarrassed as a player if I had a coach saying that. I mean, I'd be embarrassed by my play, and then I'd be embarrassed having that thrown on top of me. Like, all this team ever is made fun of.
Is an embarrassment.
Like, and from a player's perspective, yeah, they're getting paid, but they also can't wait to get the hell out because they won't get that narrative somewhere else. It's, oh, you were on the King. So, you know, that's, it's understandable. We can save you.
Yeah. You're not actually that tarnished. You just need to get the hell out of Sacramento and get away from Vivek Ranadive and whoever else is, you know, puppeteering behind the scenes.
Because if people think that Fox is going to go be trash somewhere, that's absolutely not the case.
No, no. And Buddy Hield probably will all of a sudden rediscover himself if he goes to a better situation where he's not asked to do anything but shoot, which is what the Kings are kind of telling him to do now. But with all the dire circumstances, with losing all these players, he's obviously needed to, in his mind, it seems, he's needed to do more. And that hasn't really worked.
Well, when you're on a bad team, like, we need you to do everything. Yeah. Yep. We're not good enough to just have people be really good at one thing and not, anything else. And so
what's makes this even more depressing is when you look at the standings, which you shouldn't if you're a Kings fan, no need to, you know where they are. They're not in the playoffs or the play-in currently, but the teams around them in the play-in, like on the outside of the play-in or just inside, they're all teams that no one thought would be involved, you know, like, except for Portland, who's gone through some hell with Chauncey Billups taking over and some drama of their own. But OKC was not supposed to be competitive. They've won a couple big games this year. They have a lot of good young talent. Pelicans were kind of supposed to be competitive, but then they had, you know, Zion's not playing. They've had some injuries. They have a new coach. No one really expected them to be, you know, setting the NBA afire. Houston's totally rebuilding. San Antonio's rebuilding. So, like, these guys were supposed to not be good. But then you put the Kings in this mix, they were supposed to at least be competitive. And they aren't even resembling a competitive team right now, and really for most of the season, except for, you know, one or two little three game stretches where they played well, they've been fucking terrible. And it's not worth our time to watch. We've said this, but it's not worth our time to watch. It's really not even worth our time to even discuss it. What's their discuss? You're talking about, you know,
same
terrible
thing
basketball.
Over and over. Right.
Yeah. And the same thing over and over. It's it gets old, you know, it definitely gets old. That I'm looking at the Tankathon webpage or the simulator for the lottery in December before the start of the new year, when we have 4 more months of basketball. I'm already looking at that because that's more realistic for this team than even the play-in, which you have to be just the 10th seed, Jill, to make the play-in. It shouldn't be that hard.
Right. You don't have to be good.
You don't even have to be good. You do not even have to be good, but they're not good. So
I
mean,
I think this year shows, like, it epitomizes, you know, everything that's going on. They're what, 3 games outside of one of the worst records, and then like 3 games outside of the play-in. Like, it's,
they're in a weird path.
So in addition to the COVID stuff, I think that's one of the reasons you're not really seeing trade chatter. There's a lot of talk of that G League showcase in Vegas being kind of like what baseball does, you know, how they have their winter meetings, and you were going to have all the talking between GMs and there, because they were going to be watching the showcase, and then all the executives were going to be there, and then you would have the talks. Well, it turned into, you can't go, and then we're going to have to sign every G League player to help you in the league. And so trades aren't happening when you have guys out in protocols who can't, one, travel to the team they're being traded to, two, can't go in and do a physical to, you know, complete the trade. Like, it's with the rotation of guys in and out of protocols, I think that has seriously slowed down some of the talks and the chatter, just because you can't complete deals. Like, if players are out, like, you physically can't complete them. They cannot come fly to you and get a physical and complete the deal itself. And so, like, how that, you know, keeps going, I don't know. And then you're getting, you know, all these other, you're probably going to want to see guys come back from COVID. You know what I mean? Like, realistically, how did their body handle it? Like, you've seen some guys come back and have some difficulties, right? You even have Bagley, who's saying that it didn't hit him all that hard, but he's still having a hard time catching his breath. And whether that's getting back into game shape or something else, I mean, time will tell. Like, you don't know with this stuff. And so I think you're seeing a lot of things slowed down. And then in addition to our record of not completely being out of it, like, if in their warped mindset, if they somehow think that standing the status quo and not being able to trade people, that they still have a shot, because they're only, you know, 3 games out of the play-in at this point, like, you're not going to see blowups. And so it's kind of detrimental to things that we think need fixing, because there's still a chance, which is crazy with how bad they've been, but it's there. Yeah.
You would hope, it's a hope that kills us. You would hope that Monty McNair, Vivek, everyone on the coaching staff by this point realizes, okay, these guys are not going to do anything for us, this group, as it is. You would hope that, regardless of the fact, Jill, that, as you said, they are still within reach of the play-in and even really the 8th seed, that wouldn't matter, because the roster hasn't shown the ability to, like, get that type of respect or that type of, like, you can do this. Because, like, they haven't. For everyone that's wondering why hasn't Monty McNair begun making trades, I think Jill hit it right on the head. You really can't do anything like that right now with everything that's going on with COVID. In truth, the NBA is almost at a pause, and it's just the games that keep going. But everything else behind the scenes, all the management things, they've had to kind of scream that to a halt, because that's how they're going to keep the games going. You know, it's like, that's what gets put back for the games to go forward. And some executives, I'm sure you saw the report, Jill, that were, I think the word was like exacerbated or something like that, were just shocked that Adam Silver hasn't paused the league. That was,
yeah, I mean, at this point, they're just trying to field enough players to play, right? Like, and to sign guys like that day. I mean, look at OKC right now. They just had another player go down with their coach and like three or four other players. So, I mean, they're probably going to have to sign another hardship guy. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
Crazy. It's crazy. And it's not just the NBA.
You could have people spending more time trying to be signing G League guys than actually, you know, doing the normal, you know, trade process stuff. But
with the way this is going,
it just sucks. It sucks. And honestly, like, for as much as we bash guys, like, teams around the league see the same things we see and watch the same stuff, you know, we watch. And right now the Kings are at the point where they're the ones trying to offload. It's not necessarily, at least from what we heard, it's not people calling and saying, I want these players, right? X and X and X, like the Lakers did. It's not like the Kings trying to pawn off. And so that puts them at a disadvantage. As we've said, at some point, addition by subtraction, we think, whether that's the case or not, we don't know until we see it. But it sucks when we have no idea what kind of deals are being thrown around or not thrown around.
Yeah, I mean, we aren't hearing that anyone is interested in our trash, just that we're trying to get rid of our trash. Cool. That's a lot of teams, you know, a lot of teams like the Cavaliers for years before this year, when they're now good, they were trying to get rid of Kevin Love because they didn't want that guy on this young team with all that money. They wanted to get him out, but no other team wanted Kevin Love. Why would we want this old veteran that doesn't stay healthy, that costs a ton of money? Like, that's not, we have no interest in that. I mean, Vlade Divac actually did. There was always rumors that he was trying to get Kevin Love, which was just so peak Vlade, like, oh, another big man? Say it ain't so. Like, I would love that guy. But yeah, you kind of show your hand, if you will, Jill, when you're trying this hard to get rid of guys like Buddy Hield and Marvin Bagley. You're telling everyone else, yeah, I don't know what their value is. They don't have a whole lot of value. I don't value them. And this team is 13-21. They're terrible. And I don't want this guy. So what does that say about that person? It says nothing but bad things. And Buddy Hield isn't going out there and helping his case. Marvin Bagley hasn't been able to play. And it's,
yeah, and I think there are certain players that they've kind of made it clear they're just waiting for their ticket out of town. They're coming here, going through the motions. They're not trying to fix any kind of team issues. It's, I'm here, I'm putting up my numbers, I'm ready for my ticket out.
Yeah. Yeah. Please just get me out of here, for the love of God. Which isn't that all of us as fans at this point? Like, can we just get out of here? Take me anywhere else. I want to reference two Gentry quotes, which everyone's talked about. Gentry's postgame presser now from Sunday, when the Kings lost to the Memphis Grizzlies 127-102. That score is pretty much the exact same score of the previous two matchups between the Kings and Grizzlies. It's like, I don't remember them exactly, but it was Grizzlies 125, Kings 100, Grizzlies 126, Kings 101. Like, it's the same score every game. They lose by 20 some points. That's what happens when they play Memphis this season, it seems. So Gentry came and lit a fire on them. Really just threw the whole team under the bus, rightfully so. They don't deserve to be in the bus. Throw them under the bus. And he said two things that stuck out to me amongst everything, which big one was, quote, they basically toyed with us and we're not that team. We're not a team that should come in here. We're not a team that people should come in here and be able to toy with. But right now they're being toyed with every game, home or away. It doesn't matter. They're, you know, gum on the bottom of the shoe. People are just scraping you off and getting on with their day. Like, they don't take you seriously. Why would they? And then the big one that hoping for no reason, would resonate with the players, Jill. At some point, there has to be a sense of pride, individual pride. It can't be on the coach. It can't be on the GM. It can't be on the secretaries. A nice little throw in there, giving love to the secretaries. It's got to be on you. You have to go out and compete and do it yourself. This team has a competition problem. They don't want to play. They're beaten down, and I don't necessarily blame them even for that, because for guys like De'Aaron Fox, all they've ever done since they've been here is lose. All Buddy Hield has done in his career is lose. You know, at some point, all the losing you would think would get to you. And it would seem with this core group of guys, it's efficiently gotten to them. Even Harrison Barnes and Tristan Thompson, who have won championships, it's gotten to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, and
yeah.
I mean, and now that, and a guy from Fox's perspective who was offered the money because he earned it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, let's not act like he didn't earn it. And now he's getting the brunt of the, you're the paid player, and now it's all your fault. Whether you have legitimate talent, good coach, anything around you, like it's your fault. I mean, yeah. we talk about how this place needs to make roster changes all the time, but yet completely blame people that clearly don't work together. Like, so again, it is what it is. Like, I don't expect them to change after 3 years. Like, so it is what it is. We can keep blaming stuff, but we know what we're going to get.
Yeah.
And at some point, from Fox's perspective, like, he came in like DeMarcus, I'm going to be the guy that's going to change this place around. I want to be here. I want to change it. And now you're getting all the hate because you're the highest paid player. But this is my thing. Say you send him away and you don't fix anything, Halliburton's just going to be the next guy that gets paid and then gets all the hate. Like, you can keep changing the focal point, but until you change everything around the focal point, nothing's going to change.
Yeah. Get to the root of the problem. Don't just blame one person and think that changes everything.
Yeah. No one person is good enough to change what's going on here.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, in a good West, a normally good West Western mm-hmm. Conference. And I think this is kind of what's frustrating too, is it's, we're seeing a not good Western Conference because of injuries and COVID and everything like going on. They've actually had opportunities just to be an average team, and they can never figure out how to be an average team. It's always something.
Always something. They couldn't be, they played 34 games. You couldn't be like 16 and 18. 17 and 17 would obviously be average. You couldn't just be middle. That record like that, 17 and 17, you're ahead of the Lakers, who are now under 500, if I'm not mistaken. You're in a good spot, and you're not doing anything crazy. You're just being there. You know, you're just being mediocre. But this team literally can't grasp mediocre. Think about that. Actually, don't think about that. It'll ruin your day.
They can't grasp mediocre when they're just trying to be mediocre. I think that's the thing too. It's not even like, oh, we're rebuilding, so we shouldn't even be there. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, we keep saying we're going to be that 8-10 and we can't even be mediocre to be there. Mm-hmm. Like that,
yeah.
And that makes it worse.
It does. It does. There's always some way in which it becomes worse with this team. But did you think about it from this way? And then you're like, wow, it just got worse.
I mean, because you can see, like, what the Rockets completely blew everything up, and at least they can see some hope. Mm-hmm. But I also understand it's a lot easier to trade a James Harden and get a shit ton back. So, you know,
they didn't even get, like, that much, honestly.
The Fox is the best thing you're going to get back. I mean, it's the best thing at this point that you're going to give. So to me, if you're sending him out, you better be getting a guarantee back, because otherwise you're, again,
lateral or step back
at ground one. So, my biggest thing is just clearing off. I would be perfectly happy keeping Fox and Halliburton and clearing out the other big money, that's clogging this place up. Because again, you can't even take on contracts for assets, which is what a lot of bad teams do. They don't have a high payroll, so they can take on bad things to get additional assets that they can maybe use, you know, some different ways, whether you end up drafting, whether you end up packaging and trades, you know, different things. But it's right now they're holding on to that money because there might be some unicorn big trade out there that they need that money to be used for in that big trade thing. But the thing is, if that big trade unicorn doesn't appear, then you failed, right? Because you did nothing and nothing improved. Like, we always made, you know, Danny Ainge, right? And I mean, for as good as he was with the Celtics, that was his big handicap, was I have all these assets. I can get that big fit, you know, that big deal. I'm always going to hold out. It was always the almost trades, right? Never the trades that actually went through. He had a lot more talent, like, you know, kudos to him. So they were good. But with the Kings, they're constantly waiting for this big deals that we haven't seen materialized. And so at some point it's going to get money, because you're not doing anything because you're waiting for this big one that everyone else is going for as well.
Yeah. Put all your eggs in one basket.
It's going to be interesting to see how the next couple months play out, that if he pivots at all, away from, you know, the unicorn deal ever materializing, because at some point that'll end up being his downfall, is the inactivity.
Right. If you break down the Kings' current roster in terms of like who has some like legitimate trade value, you have, in my opinion, 4 to 5 guys that actually could get you something good in return. De'Aaron Fox, who you may not want to trade. Tyrese Halliburton, who they, I don't think, want to trade. Rashawn Holmes, who just signed an extension, hasn't really played this year's a ton because of dealing with eye and COVID. Actually, I don't even know if he got COVID, but just the eye. He's always dealing with some eye injury, unfortunately. Now he's got the goggles. Harrison Barnes, who I think will be the first one. I still believe he's the first one to get traded eventually, because he's a 3-and-D defensive wing who's championship pedigree. There's a lot of value in that, especially for a team that needs size on the wing.
He'll be fine wherever he goes.
He will be.
He'll be fine.
I would love him in Cleveland, because they could use a good wing player, legitimate wing player, not like Markkanen, who's been trying to play the three. He would be a great fit. And then Davion Mitchell, who's a rookie, who you don't really know how good he's going to be. But he's got value because he's a rookie, and sometimes the unknown.
And he's on a good contract. So
better. Yeah. And he's on a rookie contract. You put everyone else after those five guys, so the remaining 10 dudes. And then obviously you have two guys on two ways. But the 10 guys left, so Buddy, Bagley, Alex Len, Tristan Thompson, Mo Harkless, nothing. Terrence I don't Davis. Know what – Terrence Davis. There's no value there. There's a second-round pick.
Ramsey, Woodard, Jones, right? Metu.
Jones actually might have some decent value the way he's been playing, but I would hope the Kings would want to keep him because he doesn't cost you anything. But at
that point, you're paying $1 million. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's –
Well, what's the hurt?
Yeah.
Terrence Davis got acquired for a second-round pick. If you're going to trade Terrence Davis again, he's probably going to be worth a second-round pick. That's all. That's his value. Buddy Hield, because of his contract and the way he's playing, not much. A role player in a second-round pick. Marvin Bagley, maybe a team in the back end of the lottery wants to buy on his potential and give you their first-round pick, which is 27th overall. So not even that great.
Yeah, they don't have a guy going out there like Cam Reddish, right, who's putting on a show.
Give
right
us
now,
Cam
like,
Reddish. Yes.
With COVID going out, them saying they don't want to pay him because they're already paying so many other guys. They want a first-round pick for the guy. The guy's going out there, and his last, five games, he's averaging like 20-something points, over 40 from three, over 40 from the field.
Yeah.
But they don't have like a third-year player who's going out and doing that on a nightly basis. Like, no. This team doesn't have that.
Not
like,
even close.
Though, when you miss in the draft, like, these are the kinds of assets that you could be shopping out there. Like, if you were a good team, you could be shopping out there, right? Like, so good teams like Memphis, Atlanta, and all that, they actually have some young assets that they can pair with draft picks. The Kings have their last two draft picks, which Monty probably doesn't want to get rid of because those are what he has to hold on to that he's done here, to trade off. Otherwise, he's trying to trade off the old regime's players, which from what we've heard has been, you know, available the last 3 years.
Right. And Cam Reddish is 22 years old. He was, you know, one of those guys kind of raw coming out. He was a good collegiate player at Duke. Hadn't really got a chance because they had a lot of guys playing ahead of him last year. He definitely got pushed down with Bogdanovich coming in. And whoever gets him and decides, okay, we're going to play you actually legitimately 20-something minutes every game, they're going to love what they see. Just like Atlanta's loving
what they
see.
If they were willing to take on like Harrison Barnes money, which we know they don't want money.
Right, exactly.
And because there's also been talks of Gallo being available there. with his injury, you know, history and what's mm-hmm. owed to him. I mean,
oh yeah.
If you could get them to bite on something like that, I would take that in a heartbeat, but
they're an interesting team.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do because they've been underperforming as well, but they've also had a lot of injuries in COVID. So, right. I mean, like any team, it's.
You look at their team because you Atlanta, they don't have, like, I don't know what, when they're fully healthy and COVID's not, you know, ravaging them like it's doing everybody else, what do they really need? You know, they don't need a power forward. They don't need Marvin Bagley. They don't need Rashawn Holmes. They don't want Harrison Barnes' contract. I guess they could use a two guard, but like, you're not going to trade, you know, it's not going to be
that's
like,
that's why Ramsey. They were asking for picks. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
why they wanted
Davion
pick.
Mitchell might be one that they'd be like, okay, we'll take Davion as Trey's backup for the next couple of years. Sure. We'd love that. But they also have DeLon Wright, former King, who was traded to make room for Davion Mitchell, which is, if they made that trade with the Hawks, that would be an incredible irony. But yeah, you know, Atlanta doesn't want what we have to give up Cam Reddish, even though
minus
they don't want
pick.
Cam Reddish
minus
a pick. And you're not giving up your first round pick.
They'll take it. Yeah.
You're not giving up your first round pick unless it's top 10 protected, which I don't know if Atlanta takes that deal then.
Right.
Because the Kings are destined for a top 10 pick right now. Like very, very certainly. Like there's not many questions about it at the moment. So yeah, there's one guy though. Great example. Seriously, great example. And they're not even a team that's trying to rebuild. You know, they're not a team that's trying to sell off assets. But now they have a guy, of course, that they're like, oh, well, you know, we can use him. This team, yeah, again, I'm just going in loops, repeating it. But what do we have, Jill?
I mean, that's the thing, right?
It's nothing. Yeah. De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Haliburton, and we don't really want to trade either one of those guys. I don't care about De'Aaron Fox. I've said this in the past. I'm even more into it now after watching Haliburton run the show by himself. You could trade every single person on this roster other than Tyrese Haliburton, and I would not care. I don't really care about Rashawn Holmes as much as I love the guy, but they, you know, there's proof that you can get a good value at a center for not much. You know, that's what we've had with Damian Jones. So we have with Alex Len when he plays. Like, it's not a vital position in today's NBA. So get rid of all of them and keep Tyrese. I don't care. Like, that wouldn't bother me. But that's just me being beaten down by this point. Beaten down and sad. But with COVID, with Omicron, I wouldn't be shocked if it's really until, you know, as we get close to that February, I think it's February 7th, 8th. It's like the first week of February that the trade deadline is. It's looking like we'll get close to that date before we actually start seeing significant trades. Just because they can't do it now. They won't be able to do it probably the first couple weeks of 2022. It's going to get towards that first week of February before we start seeing people move. Right now, it's all about the G League guys, which Emmanuel Mudiay hasn't really played much or done anything. And then I don't think Murky's even gotten in the game. Did he get in the game against Memphis? I didn't watch the Memphis game.
I think he played for, I don't know, like 2 minutes, maybe. The end of the bench played for a couple minutes at the end.
Right, which is silly. I'm heating that. Play the bench, guys. Gentry keeps saying,
like,
I'm
going to. Woodard, King, and some other.
Gentry keeps saying, I'm going to find guys that want to play, and then keeps playing the same guys. It's like, okay, do you actually mean that? Like, I at this point.
But this is my thing. And like, realistically, like, we all say that. But also, when you're trying to still get value to trade guys, like throwing them on the bench and making a mockery of them, like, what does that do? I know for us, we want to see it as fans because we're sick of it. Right. But like, in the grand scheme, you're just going to get made fun of. The story isn't going to be, oh, the Kings held their players accountable. It's going to be the Kings are the laughing stock on, you know, whatever NBA show, because they had to sit $100 million on the bench because no one's playing. Like, that's going to be how it's perceived. It's not that the Kings are actually holding players accountable for playing bad. It's no, you caused it.
Yeah, you're right. No one's going to blame the players.
And that's where it's a shitty situation here and why most of us think at this point it can't be resolved.
Yeah.
And so the longer this goes on, the shadier it is.
Yeah.
That
doesn't.
We all want it changed, but we also know there's reasons why things aren't changing right now. And I think that might be the most frustrating thing.
It still wouldn't hurt to spice things up a little bit. Like, I don't want to see the starting lineup of Fox, Haliburton, Barnes, Metu, and Holmes. I don't want to see that. I know that realistically is your best five. It hasn't played like it. Okay, so stop doing that.
Well, realistically, though, out of all the minutes that have played together, Harkless at the four, that was your best lineup.
Yeah, and for some reason,
it wasn't flashy, but like that. But like, if you go by numbers, like that is still the most played lineup out of all our craziness, and still had the best ratings. Like,
right.
At some point, yeah. It, and that's also while this place continues to be what it is, because we're focusing on our end of bench players to save something again.
we have so much. I think it was a result of Vlade always getting so many second round picks that we just began to have this affirmation and like this belief that the second round picks are what would save us. And then Isaiah Thomas, of course, being, you know, the second round pick.
I think it was because we always missed our lottery picks couldn't rely on anybody but end of bench to save anything.
It's scarred with the first round picks.
No one stayed in the league. So you've always needed like your end of guys to save you. And that should never happen.
No.
When you've spent 15 years in the lottery.
No, they're not learning their lesson ever. And I saw someone tweet yesterday, you know, because someone had said this is like the least competitive Kings squad that they can remember following. And then someone commented under that and goes, I'm really, really missing those Isaiah Thomas, Rudy Gay, Marcus Thornton, DeMarcus years. Like they were still 32 win teams. They were fun. We always believed in that beginning because they'd always start kind of hot and then fizzle out. You'd have
DeMarcus putting up a 50 point game.
Yep. And then cussing out in an interview with Katie Christensen, which I think was just the fifth year anniversary of that. Yeah. I mean, if you suck, it sucks. But if you're at least entertaining along the way, people will like keep interested. You know, you're not only sucking, but you're so bad.
You're just getting blown out.
Yeah. You're actually excelling at sucking. Nobody wants to even talk about it. I'm in pain right now talking about this. I think I'm going to give myself a headache.
How bad it is that people are even talking about the on-court, how bad it is. Now it's smiles and how are they in locker rooms and how are they outside of everything other than the actual basketball court itself? Oh, I'm going to need a guy to smile. That's going to save the season. I mean, not smile after a game because that's somehow going to fix everything. Like, I mean, that's what my timeline is like after a game. It's nothing about what actually happened on the court. It's, oh, this guy's attitude here or this guy's here. Like, it's this, the whole thing is just ridiculous.
Yes. Yes.
Everything about it is ridiculous.
That's
one wants to even talk about the court anymore than it's everything else.
No.
Because we've said everything you can possibly say at this point.
And Doug Christie, in his four games that he coached, 2-2, I had fun watching that. And they didn't, you know, the two games they lost were not good games. They got handled. But I don't know why. I think it was just because of Doug Christie. But, like, I cared. You know, I tuned in. And I was a little sad to see these guys come out of protocol. I'm glad they're okay, and I'm glad they're healthy. But I was a little bummed, Jill, to see that all these guys are coming back, because it's like, okay, now I got to go back to watching the dudes I know don't give a fuck and I know won't win us games come back and play. At least with that group of nobodies that was playing there for a couple games, the eight guys, we didn't know. We have never seen those guys have to play a significant amount of minutes. So they're in lied like a sense of hope again, you know, like, well, we don't know what this is. We don't know what will happen here. And it was intrigue,
sure,
if you will.
Sure.
Now it's like, oh, we're back to the guys that I know won't do shit. Okay, don't care. I'm going to go watch anything else. I'm going
to
go do
anything else. And are now trying to play back into anything.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not buying me back in. I've lost interest. And without Christie yelling at him and, you know, coaching so vocally.
He still was standing from the side.
It's true. He'll never sit down.
He actually did.
I think Matt George tweeted that at this point, like, I think it was Christie's second game coaching. He's like, at this point, they should just sell off that seat to a fan because Christie's not going to use it. talking about his bench seat. Because, yeah, he's he's up and moving. But prayers to Alvin Gentry.
Yeah, and now I feel bad that the players, like, apparently yesterday, Halliburton got asked about, like, would you rather play for, like, Christie or Gentry? Like, stop it. Like, see, like, come on.
Yeah.
That's not the question to ask for kids. Like, really?
Kids in his second year. He's trying to figure out.
Isn't about them.
He's still trying to figure out who he is as an NBA player.
And it just reminds me of the Mike Malone firing year, where it was like that carousel and like everyone's just pissed and there was no changing. There was no coming back, you know, there was no fixing. And now you're getting that, not because of necessarily firings, but because of firings and COVID and, you know what I mean? Like you're getting the carousel for other reasons, in addition to the letting the coach go at the beginning. So it's just
always
the same drama. Shit playback is just, yeah. Regardless of how it happens, it's just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And when you win, which we haven't done, we don't know what that's like. But when you win, there, you don't hear these things. You don't hear problems. Even if there are problems, no one pays attention to them because you're winning. So no one cares. But right. When you lose, like the Kings have lost, there's always a problem. And we're always talking about it. And it is just this repetition, repeat cycle that is miserable. It just adds another.
Yeah, well, and on other teams, you like, it's funny, at least on Twitter, like hearing other teams reporters or fans talking about, oh, how they're pissed because they're at 500. Well, it's like, no, we're pissed because we can't even get to 500.
Yeah,
like,
not even close.
At least you're doing stuff wrong, but still at 500, right? Right. You know, or above it. Like, we're still just trying not to drown.
we just barely know how to swim, but it's not much. We have not much going for us. You know, we're about to sink.
Yeah.
Well, the Kings play tonight against the Thunder, a battle of two heavyweights in the Western Conference. Thunder are actually a fun team. They have got a lot of good young talent. Josh Giddey will not be playing, unfortunately, the Australian rookie who's, you know, a modern day Jay Will. He's in COVID protocol now, and they might have other guys out. I'm sure they do. I
Baisley's really out. Favors is out.
Ah, I like Baisley.
There's a couple others. Yeah.
So they'll be shorthanded. But they still have a team that plays with fight and heart because they're all young guys on rookie deals. And then they play again tomorrow against Dallas. And then they play Friday against Dallas on New Year's Eve, the weird home back-to-back against the same opponent. And then Sunday against the Heat, that's their last home game before they head back out to the road after the new year. So you got four more games at home to try and find some sort of rhythm or just pride, I guess, at this point. And we'll do a podcast again tomorrow, guys. We aren't doing one Friday for New Year's Eve. That's on me. Nothing to do. Jill would, I'm sure, want to do it, but I'm traveling, so I will not be able to do it. But we'll touch on, you know, the game tonight and then preview a little bit of Dallas tomorrow and just do a nice little back-to-back, kind of like what the Kings are doing, a back-to-back.
If they lose tonight, it could get ugly.
It could get ugly. It could be the shortest episode ever.
OKC just had to sign 3 10-day contracts.
Today.
So they're hurting.
Yeah.
They're hurting. And so if we come out and put
you just know it's going to happen.
But you know,
So,
always think there can't be another low and they find a way. So
what was the thing we said that we said something similar to that early in our episodes, something like, oh yeah, just when you think it can't get worse, it always can. Just remember, it can always get worse. And that is, you know, get that tattooed on you if you're a Kings fan. It can always get worse. And this is exhibit 374. So that's going to do it for us on this Tuesday episode. Guys, for the love of God, don't watch the game. Unless you have nothing going on, you're just cooking dinner and you want to put it on as background noise, go do something else, man. You know, don't let this team suck you in anymore, because it's not worth it. It is just not worth it. But we'll be back to talk about it if you want to join us tomorrow. Other than that, have a great rest of your day. And Slater, dude. Oh, yeah. Also, hope everyone had a great Christmas. I got to throw that in there. Now Slater does.